L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Final hour on this Tuesday, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt with you, and we are now thrilled to be joined by the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, Andrew Allegretta, with us for the full final hour of the show as the Commodores gear up for the new season. Now just 16, 18 days away. We're getting close. We're getting close.
We are. Are we going right back into the Waffle House conversation?
I think we have to, right? Yeah. Like, we got to get your thoughts on this. What is your Waffle House experience?
Limited, but fine. There's a Waffle House down the road from us. So whoever wrote in, like, if they don't have an employee out front smoking a cigarette in their apron, they're not established yet, that hits home. Like, I don't understand why that's the case, but the number of times that I've driven by that Waffle House and that scene has been set, a lot.
Right. I think that it's the sign of a good Waffle House, right? Like, as Dustin said, keep it moving.
Functioning the way it's supposed to be functioning, right? With all of the beauty and chaos that Waffle Houses are supposed to function with. We've got a Cracker Barrel across the street, too, which is, I think, where we would go as a group.
Yep.
Like, I want to be able to walk to my table through just a cavalcade of unnecessary stuff in the country store.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I want.
Candies
from the 1950s and soda pop that doesn't exist anymore and a broom that moves on its own for Halloween when it's February, which my son desperately tried to get me to buy a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Like, there was a, you know, an automated broom for Halloween just kind of wiggling through the store.
Was it for purchase?
Oh, yeah.
You could have. Okay, gotcha.
100%. And I said, no. But that's the experience that I want.
Yeah, with Waffle Houses, I pass it every day, and I'm sure you've seen it too, right down the road from here. There is a delivery-only Waffle House, which I feel like defeats the purpose. As Dustin said, if they're not arguing behind the counter as they're ordering your food, and part of the experience of Waffle House is being inside the Waffle House.
I think so. Late at night. Like, I felt like that is the point of Waffle House, like, at its heart and soul, is the evening Waffle House. But it's not necessarily my spot. Not good, not bad, not anything. It's like of the spots that you would pick on the cavalcade of Southern chain restaurants, like Waffle House is not necessarily mine. That's fine. But I do feel like it's supposed to be had post-midnight.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably when it's the best, right?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, after a night out and
but again,
you don't hit Waffle House.
But again, I understand that like it's not my spot. And as we know with you, can't hide money. It wasn't your spot either.
I will have to look it up during the break where the closest Waffle House to me was growing up because I don't think I ever saw one.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the thing. As it wasn't convenient. I don't know if we would have been a Waffle House family if they were convenient to us.
I will side with you on one thing, and maybe we're going to separate this. Like, there's obviously the gas station convenience store argument. Like, which spot is yours?
Yeah.
Having lived in Virginia. Are you a Sheetz guy?
I loved Sheetz.
See, I'm a Sheetz guy too. So that's where I'm going to come down with you on that particular Wawa, Sheetz, whatever else is out there.
I love a good Wawa too.
Sheetz.
Wawa came in here a month ago because they opened one in Clarksville and gave us some gear, like some hoagies. It was really good. I agree. I was more of a Sheetz guy growing up, but Wawa, very good too.
Bucky's is great. I'm all for Bucky's. It's a little overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I might offend some people. I don't necessarily, I feel like everyone loves the food at Bucky's. I was hoping for more when it comes to the food. Like, I don't need,
again, I would agree with that.
Respectfully, I don't need the brisket sandwich, whatever. Hey, their snack choices are off the wall. And again, if you need a, whatever the Bucky's equivalent, like if you need a Bucky's branded Halloween broom, you could get that too. That's fine.
You can get anything you can imagine.
I'm all for Bucky's. I don't, their food's okay.
I agree.
Am I going to get evicted from the studio? There's going to be somebody from Bucky's when I walk out of here. Like, excuse me, sir. We need to have you in this room for a moment.
You're going to have to move to a different state. We've taken Tennessee.
I feel like it's going to be like a Las Vegas back room situation. Excuse me, sir. Go into this room.
Yeah, you're going to have to come with us. I agree with you. I think Bucky's, I was underwhelmed because it's very, the hype is
the hype is really high.
Unimaginable.
Which is good for them, but also creates some problems.
My favorite gas station, which they aren't around here, but when I spent summers up in Minnesota was Quick Trip. The KT, not the QT.
QT's here.
We stopped there if the team won after every game and before every road trip, mm-hmm. and would get a six-pack of Glazers, the donuts, to share with me and some of the coaches.
I feel like you're purchasing that at a young age. I thought you were going somewhere else with a six-pack of .. I'm like, your coach is pretty liberal, man.
Our coach, if you wanted to buy that on your own time, great. Couldn't bring it on the team bus.
Yeah, okay.
That was mm-hmm. that was kind of the line that was drawn. So that was kind of
like
my
place.
Feels
like a decent line.
Yeah, it feels like a reasonable line.
Appropriate line.
Okay, let's talk football.
Should we?
Let's talk football. We've made it 7 minutes into this segment.
This is the Lane Kiffin experience where he tries to talk about anything other than football.
You're filibustering.
That's right.
We were out together at the scrimmage Saturday. Got to listen into Clark Lee. I didn't talk to you about this on Saturday, but listening to Clark Lee speak, I'm always just like enthralled. Like a 30-minute press conference goes by so fast because he speaks so knowledgeably about everything. And I think he makes it relatable. Like, I think some coaches struggle to be able to make the difficult and the complex in football simple for people. And I think Clark's really able to massage that well of like, yes, it's complicated what we're talking about, but I can put it to you in terms that you're going to understand.
And he's thoughtful and he's mindful and he's super intelligent, which surprises nobody. I recognize the fact that we exist kind of in a clippable world.
Yep.
And essays don't do as well as a tweet. But Clark certainly thinks in essay form, which, by the way, on a human level, in reality, is the way that you need to think.
Yeah.
If you try to present things that are complicated in a team setting or in a real life setting in some sort of haphazard tweet form, that's not giving it the due diligence that it needs. But I'm right there with you. The way that he spoke, and of course the conversation is going to trend toward the quarterback conversation and that competition that's going on. But he was really intentional to slow that conversation down. He didn't want to race past it. He didn't want to give it less than a full-throated explanation because he recognizes how significant that conversation is, the implications of all of it, what it means for the people involved inside the building. He recognizes that there's tentacles that go out from that. So the fact that he was able to drop the temperature and explain it thoughtfully, to me, that's what it deserves. And I don't think that there's really any other coach, and I say this out of respect of a lot of coaches that I've worked for, I think Tim Corbin is maybe in that conversation, that can truly give you an unmatched explanation and thought process. Ultimately, coaches, you've got to be an expert in your field, but you're a communicator and you're a teacher. And if you can't communicate why you think things are important, you're going to struggle as a coach. And I think when you listen to Clark explain things like the quarterback position and why it's going the way that it is and where they are at this moment in time, you understand why he's a good coach, because that skill set also exists on the field. It exists in the meeting rooms. It exists at donor events or whatever it is. And that's the sort of stuff I do think ultimately when decisions are hard resonates with people.
And I thought the answer specifically that he had on Jared Curtis and everything he's going through, I mean, for a lot of fans and a lot of us out here on the outside, you view Jared Curtis as five-star quarterback. Why is he not immediately being plugged in as the starter? But there's a lot that goes into that for a kid that young of he's at college for the first time. He's dealing with these new experiences. And he talked about the pressure that's on a kid like that. Like, you're hearing it from all angles. He's going through a lot trying to get ready to play college quarterback for Vanderbilt.
And Clark acknowledged the fact that he's been dealing with a lot of pressure for a long time, which sort of calcifies your emotions a little bit and makes it harder to truly understand what you're feeling and what you need from yourself and from others as you transition. The other thing that I would add is not only is he a freshman, regardless of skill set, he is a freshman at a moment in time where college athletics is older than ever and more experienced than ever. The equivalency, and I don't know that anybody necessarily would agree with this to me, and perhaps I've made this point before, but a freshman pitcher used to be able to throw a dirty slider that was, I don't know, 2 feet off the plate. But because that pitcher was going up against kind of the equivalent of experience, they would get chases. Not anymore in college baseball. You throw a filthy slider, but it's 2 feet off the plate. They're going to check off on it again and again and again because the hitters have more at-bats. I feel like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? There is so much more knowledge and experience. Vanderbilt is still a very experienced football team, regardless of that quarterback position. But there's so much more experience in college football. Not only is Jared Curtis trying to do this as a freshman in the SEC, but he's doing it as a freshman in the SEC at the hardest position on the field, the most demanding, the most scrutinized position on the field at a time when there has never been more experience on the field with players and gifted defensive coordinators ready to make your life miserable. So regardless of wherever this goes, I think keeping that in mind is ultra significant for anybody as you just experience this externally. There is a lot there that makes this a brutal thing to do. Not to say he can't, not to say that he even is the starting quarterback, but the proposition in front of him is extreme. It just is.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who really should have just stepped onto a college campus within the last couple of days. If you're just talking about any person at his age.
Or the way that it used to be.
Right, but where you're not enrolling early and going into spring ball. Like, he has had a little bit more of a runway, but it's still a big ask for somebody of that age. And we can get into this a little bit more when we come back of just, like, what he's looked like and some of the things that he does really well, but also some of the reasons that maybe you would pull back a little bit and realize that you need to wade him into the water a little bit. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any thoughts, questions on Vanderbilt, you can text or call on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, we've got 45 more minutes with Andrew. We'll talk quarterbacks. We'll talk some of the key returners, some of the newcomers for this team, and expectations for Vanderbilt heading into the 2026 season. Jake Lyman, Andrew Allegretta, Connor Newt, next man up here on 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Andrew Allegretta, Connor Newt, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Andrew with us for the full final hour, talking Vanderbilt, Commodores, and Austin Peay, starting the new season on September 5th at First Bank Stadium. And of course, the big question is quarterback. We went through some of the external factors facing Jared Curtis, and you mentioned how he's kind of calcified those reactions.
Yeah, Clark mentioned that.
Clark said he's like a parent, and you can kind of tell when your kid didn't sleep well.
That's
like he can kind of see it on guys' faces where they're standing, and with Jared, it can be a little bit tougher. With Jared Curtis and Blaze Berlewitz, there are some people who try and make this out to be cut and dry. It's Jared. I understand the reasons that you would think about starting both of these guys. Blaze Berlewitz has been in this system for a long time, going back to New Mexico State. He has more experience, maybe not game experience as much. Jared Curtis has no game experience. So I understand why that would make sense. Blaze Berlewitz maybe can keep the ship afloat better than Jared Curtis would going through all these firsts. But you look and see some of the things that Jared Curtis did when I was out there in the spring game, the scrimmage on Saturday. There's some plays out there that Jared Curtis can make that Blaze Berlewitz can't. So I think it's weighing the ceiling versus the floor based on who you think is going to give you the best chance to win.
Blaze Berlewitz did throw a touchdown pass versus Virginia Tech, did he not?
Man, I forgot that was him.
Yeah. I think to Stowers.
I think you're right.
At the end of the game.
Yeah.
Just to boost the score margin a little bit.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That game, it was so funny. Me and you at halftime of that game, Tech was up, what?
20-10.
It was up 10, and we were kind of having the conversation of, they can get back into this, and just flip switched and you're playing the backup quarterback at the end of the game.
Someone came into our booth basically saying they had talked to the Virginia Tech analytics people and said, it's going to flip. For whatever reason, there was just the way that they had looked at that first half. Like, Virginia Tech had played as good of a first half as they possibly could. Vanderbilt was not necessarily on its mark just yet. Diego Pavia had thrown a pick, and it was only a 10-point game.
Yeah.
And the analytics people at Virginia Tech were like, look out.
This isn't going to be a fun second half.
Look out. We'll see which way it goes. And then they ran the football and just punched Virginia Tech in the teeth. And
yeah,
it was basically the third quarter, which,
right,
which is what Vanderbilt did to Tennessee at Neyland, too.
Yeah.
That game totally flipped in the third quarter when the commitment to running the football kind of got entrenched,
right,
which you asked me about the quarterback. I could say something painfully simple, and I will probably say it a bunch on this station during the broadcast,
yeah,
which is if Vanderbilt can defend and run the football, it changes everything for the 2026 team, in part because of how much that helps whoever the quarterback is,
100%.
Blaze Berlewitz, Jared Curtis, and Clark acknowledged it's those two guys competing on Saturday, too. And you've got what I think are perhaps just a couple of the most dynamic running backs possible in the league, which is Cedric Alexander and MK Young. Like, they've got both the ability to change games. MK, I think, had 360-plus yard rushes last year, including a huge one that changed the game versus Missouri.
Yeah.
And Cedric Alexander ripped off the long one versus Alabama, and nobody has more snaps at the running back position in all of college football coming back than Cedric Alexander. Cole Kublik always makes this point, and I'll keep saying it, that one of, if not the most underrated players in all of college football is Cedric Alexander, with what he does in every area of the game. He can catch the football, I think had 6 or 7 catches versus Bama back in 24. He can run the football. He's got 21 career rushing touchdowns, which is third most in Vanderbilt history. And he can pass block, too. Like, he is not afraid to stick his nose into the belly of a defensive tackle,
yep,
and push him back. And he's strong enough to do so. That's going to help everything offensively, regardless of whatever direction the quarterback, because whoever it is going to be new.
Yes.
Not necessarily in the system, but is going to be on that field in a different role for the first time versus whoever it is going to be. And you help those people out by running the football and playing defense. You want to help out your secondary? Rush the quarterback with 4 down linemen.
Yep.
And not need the blitz. You want to help out your pass rush? Have great secondary that can hold up in coverage.
Yep.
Right? So it you talk about positions, and obviously the quarterback position is what it is. It gets paid that way in the NFL for a reason. But it's still a team game. And all three levels defensively help each other out, so on and so forth offensively as well.
And I think we've seen with Tim Beck that he is very capable of maneuvering his offense to get them in the best situation to succeed based on the personnel. Like, we talk about it all the time with the Titans of last year and the year before. Brian Callahan was going to run his system no matter who he had out there. It was his system, and it didn't matter what the personnel was. With Tim Beck, you saw it 2 years ago. Diego Pavia wasn't as polished of a passer. He could do it, but they ran more of the option-style offense because that's what best suited the personnel they had. Last year, Diego Pavia was a much more efficient downfield passer. You had weapons like Eli Stowers and Trey Richardson, and so they leaned more into that. I do think you can believe Tim Beck is going to put this team in the best situations possible to help out whoever the quarterback is. And you're right, it starts with that really strong running game that you already have coming back.
Tim Beck is egoless with his system, right? He doesn't care. Like, if he needs to pull string A to find success, he'll pull string A.
Yep.
If he needs to pull string B or whatever, he's going to do that, which sounds simple. I don't think that exists in totality in coaching and for anybody in any field anywhere. Like, if you have come up under one structure and you know that this works, it's really hard to break away from what you know works.
Yeah.
But Tim Beck has so much experience as an offensive coordinator, and probably what I think it's undervalued in his resume is how much time he has spent as a head coach, because he knows how his play calling impacts special teams and how his play calling impacts defense too. Like, you and I were standing at the scrimmage, yep, and it was a fun moment. Like, he called Blaze Berlowitz over after a play. It was like a third down and 10, and Blaze scrambled and
from
picked
their own
up,
one.
Right. And picked up, like, I don't know, close to a first down, but not a first down. I guess Blaze contends that he got the first down because it's a scrimmage and it's, you know, the tackling rules are a little light. But anyway, Clark's point was basically your decision there to make that play changes the punt formation that we're in. And Tim Beck, right, you go from needing max protect to having a more traditional punt formation, which, yep, is going to allow the punter to obviously find more success and flip the field better, which helps the defense out. Anyway, Tim Beck knows how to call plays to not only just put points on the board, which is at the end of the day the most significant thing that he has to do, but it's not insignificant how his play calls help a quarterback, help a running back, help cover up potential deficiencies that you might have wherever it is, to expose somebody else's deficiencies, to help special teams, to help defense,
yeah,
to help time, clock, score situations. Like, that stuff is huge. I think he was, a semifinalist for the Broyles Award, Tim Beck,
I believe,
season ago. We'll see where the offense goes this season. They may not put up statistically the numbers that kind of force him into that conversation. Maybe they will. I don't know. But I think he's one of the best offensive coordinators in the country, again, because of that simple fact. He is egoless with his system,
yep,
and the number of stats that get put up.
And I think you make a good point about the complementary football, too, of just like,
it's boring stuff, man, but it matters.
The offense putting your defense in bad situations is how you get beat. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. If they're having to cover short fields all day long, eventually you're going to give up points. And I think that's that moment from Clark. We were wondering what he pulled Blaze Berlowitz over there to talk about. And then he said in the press conference, getting 8 yards and getting us out of the shadow of our own goalpost changes the way that we can flip the field position. And
yes,
I thought that was a really, it's something that a casual fan watching the game wouldn't think about. It's
sure,
just like, oh, crap, we're punting. But the difference between being able to have gunners out there who can go cover the punt instead of having to have everybody in to protect, it makes a big difference for those teams.
I think there is so much that this coaching staff deserves credit for in totality, Jake. They deserve credit for things like flipping Jared Curtis from Georgia to Vanderbilt.
Yep.
They deserve credit for the big headline stuff, like Diego Pavia ending up as a Heisman finalist, winning 10 games. But then there's the granular stuff, like the way that they interact with each other, coaching staff, defensive coordinator helping offensive coordinator. They're also really, really good at end of half, end of game situations,
right,
90% of the time. There are people on that staff that, look, they deserve a shout out because of the way that they help with this process, Ben Cawthon, Nick Valdeseri. There's people that do unbelievable work managing the clock. I think, you know, one of my favorite moments from last year was Diego Pavia's first down get down versus LSU.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they knew in the huddle, and people should know this, right? Like, I get if you're a high paid college football coach or a high school coach or whatever, you should be able to manage the clock appropriately. But we know how often that kind of slips through the cracks.
Yep.
Right. They had talked about it in the huddle. Hey, Diego, if you get a first down here, don't score a touchdown. You slide down.
Yeah.
No more timeouts left for LSU. Ball game's over. Would it be more fun to win by 13 points or 14 points? Sure. But I just want to win the game. And there's people that manage that situation. The attention to detail, no surprise, from Clark Lee with his whole staff top down is really high.
Yeah.
There's a lot here that I think will allow Vanderbilt to sustain in a season where there's a lot of skepticism about what sustaining off of 10-2, 10-3 looks like.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. You talked about two big keys for Vanderbilt this year: running the football, defense. We talked about the run game. We'll talk about the defense coming up next, which returns a lot of talent, brings in some key players as well. We'll get into that. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Andrew Allegretta, Connor Newt, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Andrew Allegretta, Connor Newt with you. Got a couple more segments on this Tuesday. We're talking Vandy football, Commodores, and Austin Peay, just 2.5 weeks away at First Bank Stadium. We talked a lot about the offense. Quarterback going to draw a lot of the attention. And Clark said that didn't have an answer yet on Curtis versus Berlewitz after their scrimmage on Saturday. Another scrimmage coming up this week might have a clearer view of that. But on the defensive side of the ball, I think this unit can be really good with the returners they have coming back. We listened a little bit to Nick Rinaldi back on Saturday, who's coming back in that linebacker core, playing alongside Brian Longwell. A lot of experience there. You've got Martell Hite back. You got C.J. Hurd. You've got Miles Capers. Issa Wataha's back healthy. This is a unit that has a lot of experience, and like you said, if you lean on defense and the run game, I think that's going to be the recipe to win football games for Vanderbilt this season.
First off, great bump back track.
A lot of carry this morning.
That one's got edge.
Yeah.
One's got edge.
We were talking earlier that Mike Fisher does need to be careful what he does, because Carrie's got some violent tendencies in her song.
There's a Miranda Lambert song that's got the same edge, too. Gunpowder
and Lead.
Yeah.
I'll do some research.
Yeah, stop and listen.
You've got,
just
like,
because it's got some edge to it.
There are those songs that kind of allude to the violence. And then you've got like Earl from the Dixie Chicks, which is like, Earl's gotta die. Like, just flat out say it. So
that in a room full of Ella fellows here today, huh?
Yeah. Nick Frazier is our big resident Ella fella.
Big Ella fella.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
I'm Ella fella adjacent, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I like her music.
Yeah.
I can't say that I've seen her in concert at all or anything like that, but Ella fella adjacent. I like that. That's where I'll stand too.
Yeah. Defense. we'll see. There's pieces out there for sure, which is, you know, at this point in the season, that's kind of all you could ask for.
Yeah.
Is knowing that you've got the talent on the field and you've got enough experience to make it work, that you've got leadership on that side of the football, that you've got a really creative defensive coordinator, Steve Gregory. Issa Wataha, I think, is at the top of my list of most intriguing players, just because I think he's enough of a physical specimen to have an all-SEC type season if he stays healthy. That's the whole thing with Issa, I think. Missed most of last season with a shoulder problem.
Yep.
He's super fired up to be back. But what is he? Like six? What is he listed? 6'6"? I mean,
we stood next to him for a second post-scrimmage, and that is a large human being.
Who can move other large human beings. And he's only been playing football.
He's listed at 6'7", 315.
Yeah, he's huge. And he's only been playing football since really like about 2021, 2022.
Yeah.
Just because of his move from Germany to the States. You talk about a physical specimen with the tools that is kind of just learning how to play the game. I mean, I if he stays healthy, I don't know if he'll put up the stats because of the position he plays. Like, he's not an edge rusher who's going to go out and get 8-9 sacks in a season, which just pops off the page. But if he's in the backfield and he gets a lot of TFLs, I mean, I'm not saying he's having a first-team all-SEC performance this year, kind of, again, because of the position that he plays. But I think he can be disruptive enough where he's on some postseason lists, and he might start to get some NFL draft chatter. Now, I don't know where that – he just has the size that you would think scouts would want to have a conversation with him.
Yeah, and NFL scouts, they love the traits,
right?
Of like, hey, we can teach you to do the other things, but we can't teach you to look like that.
We need you to be able to hang on the field. The rest will try to coach you up.
I interviewed Femi Oladejo yesterday at Titans camp. I don't know if you've seen him. I felt about that big standing next to him. That is a physical specimen. And it's like he hadn't played a whole lot of pass rusher in college, but they were like, we can teach him that. We can't teach him to be an absolute unit.
That's right. That's right. And Issa isn't necessarily, he isn't one of those like freak show looking edge rushers.
But like,
again, huge.
Yes.
Gigantic. And when you're on the field with other large humans and you look like the large human.
Yeah.
Right. You're the large human. So I think defensively he's got an opportunity to have one of those seasons where he ends up on lists. Martel Hyatt has received a lot of praise from the coaching staff.
He looked good on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, he's one of those players that, talking with the coaching staff, he's always had the physical tools to be a really good corner, sticky in coverage and all that kind of stuff. But it takes time to learn the position, the technique, the fundamentals, all that sort of stuff. And it sounds like his technique is more honed in now than it has been in his previous couple of seasons. Not that he's had bad seasons, but, you know, again, there's just natural growth that happens with anybody in the game. So he's received a lot of praise about what he could be. The player that I have always been super intrigued with is Jordan Matthews, which I think we've talked about in the past. One of the corners, transfer from Tennessee, came over, was impactful last year, had coverage doubled with C.J. Hurd on Cam Coleman on the final play versus Auburn. I think he probably has technique and fundamental growth. I think that is where his development and consistency is happening. But I was told basically, like, it's nice to have a guy on your roster that you know you can put on one of those freaky SEC wide receivers and he can hang.
Yeah.
And that's Jordan Matthews. If they are putting you on Cam Coleman on the final play of the game
in overtime
from the 10-yard line, that speaks volumes to what your skill set is. Now, can they just leave Martel Hyatt and Jordan Matthews on an island?
Probably not.
Nah, I don't know. But knowing that your secondary is far more capable of holding up longer, again, just adds to the toolbox. I do think one of the players that they lost this past year that's going to hurt is Cordae Sidnor.
Yeah.
I think he was a really good edge rusher. I can't remember how many sacks he had last year, 4 or 5, something like that. But he was pretty impactful for them. Like, that duo of Capers and Sidnor off the edge, I thought was pretty impactful. And they're going to have to kind of see where that goes this year.
Yeah.
But, again, if you've got the secondary that can hold up, you've got more experience at safety. C.J. Hurd is back. You get Ricardo Jones, who comes over from Clemson. Really, really talented player. You've got pretty good depth with, you know, Dante Carter or Carson Lawrence back there, younger players that are recruits of your own. Jalen Lackey, I think, gets overlooked as a corner. Like, again, go back to the Alabama game in 2024. He did get beat, but he was matched up with Ryan Williams as a freshman.
He was 17, by
the way. Yeah, he was. Williams was.
Yeah.
See, 2024, he is 19 now. Good for him. Is that right? Am I doing the math
yet? I assume so, yeah.
Sure, whatever. That narrative was wild. I enjoyed when Sean McDonough would make fun of it on ESPN broadcasts.
Yeah, well, Norm made fun of it a lot during that day.
We sure did.
Have you heard that he's 17?
Did you know that he's 17? I did, Norm. But Lackey was matched up with Williams in 24. That just means that he's got, again, athletic skill set and traits that can hang in different situations. I think there is a real potential the defense could be as good as it's been under Clark Lee.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Vanderbilt had pretty darn good defenses under Derek Mason, and guys like Zach Cunningham were running around. And, you know, the defense was kind of holding that together while the offense tried to find its moments. I'm not going to say it's going to be the best defense since X, but I do think there's a really good chance it's probably Clark's best defense, which has got to make a defensive coordinator at his heart pretty darn happy about, again, the way that it interacts with the entire team.
And I think you're right. You got talent at all three levels. You got returning talent.
We didn't even talk about the linebackers, which is probably it's
like, might be the strong
might be the strongest position on the field for them.
Right.
I mean, Bryce Cowan, you talk about, we can't teach you to have athletic gifts.
Yeah.
Bryce Cowan, I remember talking with Clark at one point about Bryce, and he kind of made the point that, like, you know, we'll see where college athletics goes, but at the time it was, again, it's hard anymore to wait for the versions of Bryce Cowan out there. Like, you know they're gifted, they just need the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to wait anymore. Just the nature of college sports and what you need out of your players, and just kind of stash in a spot for someone that has a really long runway on their growth is harder these days. And Bryce is one of those guys. But aren't you glad that you've had the opportunity to build and grow under Coach Lozinski? You talk about another player that could come off the radar and have kind of an all SEC type season. Bryce Cowan is one of those guys, and he's made plays before. I think he's got a defensive touchdown from a couple of years ago.
I remember that. I forget who that was against. It was 2 years ago.
It might have been, was it the opener versus Virginia Tech? Or the second game of the season? Or
Seabrooks had the pick against Tech.
He did. It actually, honestly, might be 3 seasons ago, Jake.
Man, which is crazy.
It might have been the Hawaii game to open the season a couple of years ago.
No, I remember. At home.
At home.
One.
I don't know. Bryce has a.
I'll find it.
Bryce has a defensive touchdown because I can see him scoring.
Returned an interception for a touchdown against Auburn in 2023.
Okay.
On the road, I guess. Or no, at home.
At home.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That was a long roundabout way of saying that he's had his moments in the past, but
right.
His consistency at the linebacker spot and his athletic ability to be disruptive. And if you want to circle a couple of names that could come kind of from the back of the pack and have all SEC type seasons for this defense, to me, Issa Wataha and Bryce Cowan probably are on that list.
Yeah.
And that's not to shrug off what Nick Rinaldi can do. Nick Rinaldi led the team in sacks in 2024.
Yeah.
Do people know that? Like,
I knew that having been around it, but yes, that,
you know what I mean?
It's shocking.
Didn't he play lacrosse? Like,
he's also a unit. Like, seeing him up there at the press conference, I was like, man, that dude's, he's put some work in the weight room.
Yeah, and he's cool showing it off too, which bless. But, you know, again, that's not to shake off what Martell Hite could do this season. It's not to shake off what Longwell could do this season. Rinaldi could do this season. Miles Capers could do this season with the amount of experience they have back. But if you're looking for sleepers that could have really loud seasons because of the physical skill set and just getting more opportunities, I would circle Issa Wataha and Bryce Cowan.
And I think that shows you the depth and versatility this defense has, because you can name off half these guys and say, hey, they could be in for a big year. It's just about seeing
and
if
then
they
by
can
the
do it.
And it's still SEC football. It's still college football where
right.
the we're not in 20 whatever year it was where Alabama and LSU were running up and down the field, 2019 and whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that version of college football anymore. Like, Clark and Tim Beck have talked about the fact that possessions are down and how do you beat explosive offenses? Well, you just don't give them the football.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how Vanderbilt found success in 2024.
Right.
Like, number of possessions per game are down by like 2.
Yeah.
From maybe 13-ish down to 10 or 11-ish offensively. So you're not trying to stop teams from scoring 50 anymore. You're trying to drag them from, like, I don't know, in the low 30s down to the low 20s, which is probably the goal of this defense. Can you, on average, hold teams in the 20s, which then gives your offense some opportunity and time to grow throughout the course of the first couple of games?
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got one more segment with Andrew. We will wrap up the show after this. Jake Lyman, Andrew Allegretta, Connor Newt, next man up, 1025 The Game. There we go. Here's some Miranda Lambert, Gunpowder and Lead.
Like, you listen to this one and you go,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like, it definitely makes you to stop in your tracks and just focus up.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. We're having a real conversation, Miranda.
Yeah. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. We are wrapping up the show. Been a fun hour having Andrew in, talking Vandy. We got a couple more minutes left, and Clay is called in.
Let's go.
Clay, what you got for us this morning? Good morning.
Jake, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Clay?
I'm doing good. Andrew, it's a pleasure to talk to the voice of the Commodores football and baseball.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to Clay.
I second what you said a while back about Cedric Alexander. That kid, I tell you, his athleticism is really what stands out to me. I mean, I can remember two or three times last year where he just leaped over guys when they tried to go low. I think, and I know I look through black and gold glasses probably as a big fan. But
me too.
I think he's one of the more underrated players, not only in the SEC, but in college football.
100%. Again, it's because he has put up statistics as a running back. Norm's whole point on our broadcast is if the play can get you 7 yards, Seti's going to get you 7 yards.
Yep.
Every single time, which is huge to be in second and three instead of, you know, second and 13 because it could have had seven. You tried to turn it into 17 and lost three. Like, he's just rock steady. I was so happy for Seti versus Tennessee last year to get his first 100-yard career rushing game, which was awesome. Great moment for him. But he's a pass catcher, too. I think Vanderbilt's offense is going to lean on Seti and MK and even some of the other players. Like, Lassiter had that couple of huge touchdown runs last year.
Yeah, we went through it. He averaged like 20 yards a carry.
Yeah, on like nine carries. Because all he was doing was ripping off 30-yard rushes. Now, the competition and the game time was different, but whatever. And you've got Evan Hampton, who got the shout-out from Clark from the podium.
Raved about him.
The freshman from Owensboro, Kentucky. You've got a deep room there. You got a block and you got a pat. Like, teams are going to challenge Vanderbilt to run the football. They just are, right? Like, you, when you've got a new quarterback, teams are defensively going to challenge you to run the football successfully.
Right.
They're going to have to find a way to do that. And it doesn't have to be just turning and handing it off. You can use the short passing game and all that sort of stuff. But those running backs are going to be a major factor. And I sure hope that Seti has not just a great season, but like his best season ever, and finds himself on some short list for all SEC performers.
And you mentioned Evan Hampton. Vandy Football posted the clip from his touchdown on Saturday, which was kind of a cool connection, him and Jared Curtis. It looked kind of like a broken play, but they just kind of found a seam, and Evan Hampton ran up the sideline.
I enjoyed some of the social media response to that, which was effectively like, oh, you tried to hide who threw the football. Not really. Clark brought it up in the press conference.
Right, yeah, he said
He said had the connection with so anyway.
Yeah, no, Evan Hampton, I think that is the deepest room that this Vandy team has on offense, and I'm excited to see what this team looks like. I can't believe it. We are 2.5 weeks away from the opener. It sneaks up on me every single year.
It's the best. It's such a fun time of year. And whether it's on the field stuff or just kind of watching the buzz of the stadium, First Bank Stadium, everybody shows up. And, you know, whether you're a Vanderbilt supporter or something else, just to be able to put on your team's collars, what those mean to you, a football Saturday in the South is the best sporting experience in the world. From tailgate lots to the folks that listen to us, watch the TV, whatever it is, I'm so glad that kind of that community energy is back.
Yes, and we are getting close. First game, September 5th against Austin Peay. You can listen in right here on 102.5 The Game with Andrew, Norm, Kev, and the whole crew. When's the first Commodore Hour?
The Monday prior.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
I think that's the 31st.
So getting close.
Yeah.
It's almost here. Andrew, always a pleasure having you in, and we will talk soon. We'll talk to you weekly throughout the season, I hope.
Jake, it's a pleasure.
That'll do it for us. We will be back live tomorrow, 9 a.m. at Titans Training Camp. Corey Curtis will join us, but keep it right here. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next on 102.5 The Game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.